You're listening to Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks and co-host Angelia Savage. We seek to help you relate well so you can live well in all aspects of your life.
Welcome to the show that will change your life for the rest of your life. This is Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks, and I'm your co-host, Angelia Savage, and this is going to be a show that's going to help you connect and communicate better with everyone around you, because when we learn to communicate better with one another, we stand in our power, and ultimately, we become a better spouse, a better parent, a better employee or employer, and basically, we just become better human beings, the one that God intended us to be. And this is why Relate Well was created with Dr. Rick Marks. He has a true passion to continually help others become the best version of themselves when relating to each other. Also known as Dr. Rick, that's how many, many of us know you. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I am doing really well.
Really well.
Really like well. That. This has been an interesting week. I've done four one-day intensives. Well, I did a three-day intensive and a one-day intensive with some couples, and got them unstuck and moving, saved the marriages.
Okay.
Got hope. Went anything from there, from alcoholism to sexual addictions and adultery. The issues, you know, among other things.
Very heavy issues.
They are. They were. And a lot of hurt and pain. But by the end of the intensives, there was hope. There was some measure of healing and possibility.
Wow. So that was a great intensive
they
outcome.
Were. Yeah.
And it isn't always that way, but those are typical with you.
Yep.
They
do a lot of them.
Help get everybody through things.
Do a lot of them. Get you unstuck. People come from all over the country who've years of therapy, nothing's working. I say, come down here, I'll get you unstuck and get you out of divorce court.
Yeah, unstuck. You know? Unstuck with Relate Well.
There you go.
I like it.
And it's good to be unstuck, you know? When you're stuck, you feel like there's no possibility.
It's just a heavy cloud.
And when you get that unstuck feeling, that also creates a feeling of hope.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what couples are looking for. Is there hope? And they get that feeling of hope, then they feel like they can make it. Plus, we give them skills and tools what they can start doing different to create a difference.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you feel like there's a heavy rock on top of you, and if you could just move it an inch and see a little bit of light, then
exactly
there's
right,
a
Angela.
Little bit of hope.
Exactly right, because it's not that we're trying to fix everything in an intensive,
mm-hmm.
but we are trying to get you to move something to create a difference that will make a difference down the road.
Yeah, momentum.
Yes.
Yeah, I get a little bit of momentum.
I like that word.
It goes. I love that word, momentum.
That's why you're the perfect co-host for me.
Yeah, you know? You give me momentum, I give you a little momentum, and we go.
Amen to that. All right.
Which is so funny, because that's what we do in the first part of the show. I just throw a little nugget out there, and you have the momentum to just plow through these questions that I ask you.
Article section, huh? I mean, the question section.
Question from our listeners, because we have so many listeners that are so passionate about you answering these questions, because it's off the cuff. You haven't heard these before.
Nope.
These are never seen, never heard, and things I just pull from our listeners, and here we go.
And interesting is, you know, we've made our radio show, our podcast.
Yeah.
And we're getting more and more, many, many more downloads.
We are.
Of the Relate Well, you know, podcast, which is the radio show.
Yeah.
And I'm getting wonderful feedback from it. So it's really encouraging.
You're going to save the world.
Well,
Dr. Rick is going to save the world. I'm telling you, one by one by one.
One family, one marriage at a time.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
All right. Well, let's save Sarah from Sacramento, California. And Sarah has a question. She says, how important is sharing a hobby in a marriage or a relationship? Because I feel it's really important to share common interests and hobbies, and to also have individual interests. But my husband wants his own hobby to be his own, and I don't think he wants me to enjoy his hobby. What's your thoughts on that?
I happen to know for a fact my wife would not sit out in our hot shed with me making plastic models. You know, I do aircraft, tanks. I'm a military guy. So I'll buy plastic models, build them, and then build a diorama. My wife would never want to do that hobby. I've done that since I was a kid. It brings me a lot of joy and pleasure. I think in every relationship, there are things you do together. You know, you have things that you enjoy together. And then there are things that you do separate, right? There's certain things that Luella wants to do. She doesn't want me to be around. You know, this is mine. Just let me do this. It's like, great, do that. So I think that gets back to that. We need time together and time alone. You know, and too much time together is not healthy. Too much time apart is not healthy. It's that idea of interdependence. And so if he has a hobby that he wants to enjoy on his own, then respect that time. Do it for the sake of us. Okay?
So what if everybody, what if a couple has complete separate hobbies and that really consumes them? So say one builds toy airplanes or drones mm-hmm. or whatever it is and enjoys that. And then the other enjoys tennis and they just enjoy all of those separate things. And then they just come together for, you know, dinner and kids. Well, that's really it.
So that's hobbies is one thing. Mm-hmm. I would argue or ask this question, I would ask this question, though you may have different hobbies, what do you do together, though?
So you see, do you need to have a hobby together. A hobby together?
Not to say a hobby. My wife and I don't really have a hobby together.
Okay.
We do enjoy doing certain things together. Like we go visiting places. Now, you know, you hear the idea of us, right? I don't like the mall, but us like the mall.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I'll go to the mall for us. I'll go to the beach for us. Look, she loves it. I don't. She'll go to a battlefield for us. So there are things that you do for the sake of us, and that's out of a strength. But I think you're going to have hobbies that you just yours because that's unique to who you are. But the couple does need to do something. They need to have something they do together. They enjoy together as a unit, all right? Because you do build intimacy by activity, doing something, joint accomplishment, doing something together.
So something as a team.
There's something you need to do as a couple that mm-hmm. brings you together as well, particularly okay. for males, because males tend to build connection by doing. Women oh. tend to do it by talking.
Oh, right? Isn't that interesting?
So if you get men around, a project, they'll start doing the project. And as they're doing the project, someone goes, hey, how many kids you got? And it may take you 2 weeks to get there. But then they'll start asking this guy questions, right? As yeah. they're working together on a project.
Right.
So men tend to build that intimacy through joint accomplishment, doing something together.
Okay.
You put a woman in a room and they'll know the things within the first hour or two, right?
Oh, yes.
Yes, because you asked us.
We want to know everything.
Yeah, and
it's
men
important.
Build it by doing something together. So doing something with him really will lead to him opening up.
Okay, so that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. I like that. That's a good conglomeration of. I mean, I think everybody gets stumped on we should have or we shouldn't have complete likes or dislikes, and we need to see eye to eye on everything.
Yeah, if we like everything, and then where's my individuality? There are certain things that Luella is that's unique to her, and I respect those.
Yeah,
there are things that are unique to me, and she respects those. But we also have there's all things we do together.
Yeah, so be together as an us, but also mm-hmm. don't lose yourself,
right?
In what you like and your passions. Okay, well, that was a great answer. I love that. Well, let's move on to Franco in New Jersey. Franco says, I've been dating a lady for a year and a half now, and I just proposed to her, and we're excited about our future, except my parents are not. Mm. This one sounds tough. They don't like her at all. They have told me that I'm making a huge mistake. Can a marriage work if my parents don't agree with me marrying my wife-to-be?
The answer to the question he's asking is yes. A marriage can work. Now, let's put reality in. In-laws are a risk factor for divorce. They're a risk factor.
A huge risk factor? Or
I don't really know a percentage.
Minor?
I just know that in research they are a risk factor.
Okay.
Because when you marry someone, you're marrying their history. You're marrying their family of origin. This is why a lot of people want a blessing from the parents that says that we're willing to accept this, you know, into our lives. Because when you marry someone, you're marrying that history. So Franco's fiance needs to recognize that she's moving into a relationship where she's not going to be valued or considered. If she's willing to move into that, she can't complain about it. Because when you marry him, you know up front what you're getting into. You're choosing that for your life. Franco, to marry this young lady, you are choosing to accept the fact that your parents will not accept your bride. And then it puts Franco and his bride in a position to have to make some decisions. Now, I don't know the reasons why. They may see some things that he doesn't see. So I would say, you know, honor your parents and get their feedback. What is it that you struggle with? what is it that you see, and consider the possibility that they might see something you don't see. It could be a warning sign coming from God through them, right?
Mm-hmm.
For all you know.
Yeah, right.
Also, it could be parents' own baggage playing itself out and trying to control you. Who knows, right? So I can't speak to that directly because I don't know. I can give hypotheticals around it. I would say find out what their concerns are, honor their concerns, still make your decision.
Let me say two things and get your thoughts on. I think many times parents see things that you don't see because mm-hmm. love is blind. And when you're in it, you can't always see. So I'll say that for Franco. And then flip side, I'm just thinking just from, you know, reference to Bible, doesn't the man leave his parents and then become one with his wife and everything is about now his new family?
Yes, that's the ideal, is that you detach your relational needs from your family of origin, not that you still don't need them in your life, and then you put those primarily on the marital bond, and that becomes your primary bond. So for Franco to marry her is to make that decision, recognizing also that you've got this thorn back here that will always be with you unless they change.
And that's going to be so difficult for holidays and birthdays and children, grandchildren.
Yes.
That makes it very difficult.
It reminds me of a case many years ago where a man was against his daughter's choice for a husband. And basically he said, I'm not walking you down the aisle. Mm. He was that committed to
it. Adamant.
Was that committed. I'm not doing that. I'm not walking down the aisle. Someone said, you need to go talk to Dr. Marks. They came to talk to me. I heard all his concerns, he and his wife's concerns. And I said, well, you're going to walk her down the aisle anyways. He said, well, wouldn't that be endorsing the marriage? I said, no, you're doing it because you love your daughter.
So just in support of your
child. You're going to do it because you love your daughter.
Okay.
I said, because if you don't walk her down the aisle, because this is going to happen anyways, if you choose to not walk down the aisle, you're not sending the message, I don't support the marriage. You're sending the message, I don't want you. And that's a very different message. I said,
mm-hmm.
because if you are right, then you'll be right. But if you're wrong by not walking her down the aisle, you just shut her out of your life. And you never shut a person out of their life because you disagree. And I asked him, I said, have you shared with them your concerns? Yes. They've heard it. Yes. Then walk her down the aisle. Well, it turned out he was wrong about the guy.
Oh, he was wrong.
He did walk her down the aisle. You know, to honor, he loves his daughter. Mm-hmm. So I'm not supportive of this. I love you. I'm going to do it for you. Mm-hmm. But it turns out he was wrong.
Wow. And he came around, I'm sure.
Eventually had to, because he had to admit he was wrong about the guy.
Wow.
You see, that's why I say, you know, to Franco, hey, you know, follow through. If that's what your heart's telling you. And you know, that's what God's leading you to do. You're going to have to deal with this other piece over here. And if they're wrong, then hopefully they'll admit it.
Yeah, absolutely.
If they're right, you'll have to go, well, mom and dad saw something I didn't see.
Absolutely. Well, either way, it's a win-win. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, let's go to break right now, and we're going to come back,
right.
And we're going to actually tackle, you know, some effects from the pandemic and how.
Yeah,
because
it's starting
really
to wrap up in a sense, and you know, in a lot of states, you know, things are starting to open up.
Yeah.
Let's see what some of the research is saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we'll be back in a moment. You are listening to Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks. We'll be back.
People are like chameleons. As we change, we must adapt to ensure healthy, balanced relationships. The hallmarks of a healthy relationship are goodwill, respect, humility, and empathy. RelateWell teaches these core skills and gives you practical applications for a healthy, loving, and caring relationship with each other. Whether you're single, dating, or married, taught by Dr. Rick Marks, licensed counselor, clinical fellow, and marriage and family therapist, the Relate Well Core Program features 9 online sessions, including an interactive PDF of the course manual. Millions of people look for the perfect match to share their life through improved and loving connections with the Relate Well Core Program. Call or visit RelateWell.us.
Welcome back to Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks. I'm Angelia Savage, your co-host, and we just tackled a few questions, which were pretty good. I like those.
Mm-hmm.
I like those questions, and course like the answers. So hopefully everybody can learn from those. And now I want to move on to talking about the pandemic. And I feel as though it's really affected every single person on some level, but it's particularly impacted families. and how parents are treating their children.
Yes.
So let's move into that a little bit, because I think a lot of people would like to hear how everybody else is coping.
You know, it's interesting. As we jump into this, I was thinking in terms of what was the impact that it had on me. I know there's this research coming out. And, you know, other than not traveling as much and speaking like I used to do, I was doing about 42 weeks a year, mm-hmm. and it kind of shut all that down. So I ended up doing a lot more counseling and coaching and doing intensives.
Webinars
I mean,
virtual.
I started picking those. Yeah. Other than that, you know, I was still going to the office, all right? If nobody came, nobody came. That's okay. I did videos and trying to build up the YouTube channel we've got going. Mm-hmm. It didn't change anything with my marriage, really. You know, that was already strong and solid before.
It didn't impact it one way or another?
No, not really. I mean, Luella liked the fact that I was home a lot more and I wasn't traveling as much, right?
She did?
Yeah, she loved that fact I was home a lot more.
Uh-huh.
You know, and now I'm starting to get phone calls to go travel again. So she's like, you know.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, she knows I enjoy traveling.
COVID back.
You know, but, you know, it's interesting. For me personally, there weren't a lot of, other than the logistical changes, our marriage was strong and healthy anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nice to know that we were an us to weather through all of that,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
You know, big changes. My son got married and he had to move back from Berlin. And, of course, my daughter-in-law's from Egypt. She moved here. So they actually live with us right now while he's trying to find a job. He just finished his master's from Columbia. So other than them living with us, it's been wonderful.
Well, it sounds like it brought the family closer.
It did, because it brought him home
and
with my daughter-in-law, which is great because she's had Luella around a lot to help her adapt to our culture.
Right.
You know, coming from Egypt to America.
Very different.
So in that sense, it's been a wonderful time. It's been a wonderful growing time for us.
Great. That's really good news. But the article was saying that I think it shifted in a way that's a positive, in a way, a positive outcome for most parents, though. It was an article that was in Red Tricycle magazine, and it was actually pretty interesting because it was saying that the pandemic has actually shifted everything in a good way. Parenting has had to change, because they were forced to, and in many ways, it's brought on much more good compassion for kids. And I've heard numerous times, oh, my child this, my child that. He needs this. He needs that. He needs to be with people. He needs to go back to school. So I think everybody is really putting the kids' feelings first when maybe in the past they haven't.
You know, it's interesting. Most families are, you know, two families working, all right?
Yeah, right.
The administration now is trying to create this new child care, you know, thing, which really benefits two-parent families, which some are arguing it'll hurt the stay-at-home mom. Or, you know, that kind of thing. But I think in the early days of COVID, everything changed. There were stressors. So you saw an increase in violence. You saw a lot of increase in negatives. I think that's because people are in a stressed environment. But I believe that over now, a year and a half? Mm-hmm. Longer?
Yeah.
Maybe, you know?
Yeah, almost 2 years.
Yeah, almost 2 years now. You've got people kind of settled in. Well, as this new norm started to settle, what you actually found were parents are more involved with their children. They got to settle down more being at home and working from home.
Mm-hmm.
They actually found it enjoyable being around their kids, right? They found a new way to relate to each other. I mean, when you're working, you know, 8, 9, 10 hours a day, you come home and that's your ritual, you don't really bond much. But when you're around each other, either you choose to bond and you do that by shifting the flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is some really good research that shows that, yeah, parents are more involved. They're more compassionate. They're more patient.
Yeah.
The kids are connecting to the parents more. They're finding new ways of connecting and being connected, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a positive for families across America. So in one sense, you could argue that COVID, though it may have been what it was as a pandemic, it actually had a lot of positive effects regarding the family.
Yeah, I guess from my own experience, I've noticed that my friends are normally the ones that, oh, thank God, school started. The kids are back in school. I can have a life. I can do this. I can do that. I can run errands. I can, you know, cook dinner. I can work, whatever it is. And then the pandemic hit. And then they were stressing like crazy because they were so structured. Because when you've got to have children, you've got to have some sort of structure,
yep.
some sort of, you know, I don't know, priority of this, I don't know, this is your routine every single day.
Yes.
So that routine was just thrown up in the air like a, you know, basket full of papers. And like,
because everything shifted, right?
Everyone was going crazy. So then I think maybe 5 or 6 months into all of it, I felt as though they then started being a little more kid-like.
Really?
I saw that with a lot of my friends. They started dancing on TikTok with their kids. They started making things for, you know, baseball or for a kid. I mean, for the dogs, you know, building dog houses, or they were building things together, and board games became popular.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it did with your family. Board games became popular again. There were so many good things, I think, that brought me back anyway to my childhood.
Yeah.
You know, because when we were kids, we played. We played in the streets. We played till
exactly.
midnight.
Exactly.
I mean, midnight till sundown. We played all the time. And kids don't do that now. It's
no.
homework. Okay, dinner. Okay.
And then everybody's on their devices, right?
Yeah.
iPads or video games. It's like, and I think a lot of those things got put aside for connection.
Right.
You know, they got put aside. And that's one of the positive things I think we're seeing from the pandemic, is that when it came to parenting, what you're actually seeing are the parents are connecting to their kids more. The kids are now connecting to their parents. And, you know, you just kind of talked about that old pattern.
Mm-hmm.
We get caught up so much in the pattern of life, trying to make a buck, survive here and there, that we forget that these are people and that one day they're going to leave. That home, right?
Yes. And one day they're going to fly the coop.
And the reality is, what's the quality of the relationship? Now, I was a guy that when I left home, I didn't call my parents.
Never.
Didn't want to talk to them.
Oh,
they didn't
wow.
want to talk to me. And so there wasn't that bond there.
Uh-huh.
I didn't want to be that guy, right? I didn't want to be that dad. And so all my kids, you know, had lived overseas quite a bit. They're, one's in D.C. now, one's in Maryland. And then, of course, Trey's at home temporarily until he gets his job. But even when they've been gone, I get phone calls. Hey, Dad, how you doing? And also, if I have an issue, I would never call my parents about an issue. I'd call someone else. They'd not earn the right to my heart.
Oh,
and I was that kind of dad that my kids will call and say, you know, I'm angry about something, Dad. Well, Dad, what are your thoughts about this? I love that I'm an option in their life,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
I love that I'm an option in their life. So I did parent differently. And I think the pandemic is creating an awareness that these kids are going to grow up one day. We're raising future adults. But what's the quality of the relationship we're going to have with them?
Do you think this will impact them on the in the long run, though, whenever they are raising their own kids and how they behave in the future? Because this has been 2 years of really family, close, value, compassion, you know, adoration, time together, almost the way it used to be back in the 40s. Time together, you know, time in the
field. Because family meant something much more than it does today. Yeah.
Or at least I feel that way. I feel like it might be a great thing.
Mm-hmm. There's been an anti-child spirit in our nation.
Mm-hmm.
You always hear it. You know, you see a family with a lot of kids, people will say things like, well, don't they know it causes that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know, God says, you know, blessed are those whose quivers are full. The Lord doesn't have an anti-child spirit, but we have one here. You see it in the church. And yet children are a blessing, you know, and children really are an extension of marital love. That's the biblical theological side of it. It's my love and Luella's love can't stay confined. It's got to create. And that we then take our love and love them. And they love us, and kids in those environments thrive, mm-hmm. but they also thrive in all social indicators, but they also thrive in generation in their marriages,
mm-hmm.
you see?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the generational pattern that I know that I'm trying to recreate, or I'm trying to create. I didn't want to create what my father's was, my stepmother's. I wanted a different way.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like this pandemic has created self-sufficiency. I mean, think of when the pandemic hit. I guess I can talk from all spectrums. Some people lost housekeepers. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. Other people couldn't work. Their air conditioning wasn't working or plumbing wasn't working. They had to learn to do it themselves. So their children were helping them fix a toilet, fix a flat tire, anything at home that you wouldn't allow someone to come into your home because COVID was happening. So people were learning more things on the go, which I think there's so many kids right now that don't know how to do anything. But because of COVID, I think now people have learned how to do a lot more.
Not me. You would not want
not
me
you.
Fixing plumbing or anything. I will call the plumber and say, you fix it because I will make it worse. Guaranteed.
Oh, my gosh.
My wife used to think, oh, you can do it. You can do it.
Yeah.
And she'd build me up. I feel encouraged. And then I'd do it, knowing I should not.
And
then I'd break something and made it worse.
Oh, no.
And I go, we're calling the plumber.
Oh, my goodness.
And the guy goes, what'd you do? And I go, oh, dude, all you had to do is this. Like, I don't know what I don't know. So, you know, well, I'll finally figure it out. Call the plumber.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
it's not my skill set, right?
Yeah, what are you going to do about that?
Exactly.
And then what about during the pandemic? Did you guys go for long drives together?
We would. We'd
yeah.
just go out and drive around or walk the neighborhood, you know, and just spend some of that quality time. Just going out, walking, talking,
yeah,
those kinds of things. And, you know, I think the COVID, it in one sense, it created a fear. But I didn't want to live in fear, so I chose not to.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that a lot of people lived in fear, and some people still are. I'm just not. I refuse to do that to my life.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it allowed me to rethink what's important, my priorities, what matters most. I think COVID has forced us as a country to think about what really does matter.
I hope it has. I really
you know?
Do hope it has.
Long term, we'll see, right?
Yeah.
We'll know long term.
Yeah.
But there is some good data that points out that some marriages were connecting back again. So couples were getting back together, communicating better, spending more time together. And so as this played out, there's been a lot of positives
that's taken
in place through
it. That's all good long-term effects. But right now we've got a short-term effect. We've got to go to break. So we'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks. We'll be back.
Healthy, loving relationships are essential for a happy life. On Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks and co-host Angelia Savage, you'll learn the principles for healthy, mature relationships. They share personal journeys, biblical and clinical insights that will challenge and inspire you to create fulfilling relationships in every aspect of life. Sundays at 5 p.m. on 97.1 The Truth and ilovethetruth.com. When we relate well, we will live well. And to live well, we must relate well.
Welcome back to Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks. I'm Angelia Savage, your co-host, and we have tackled a few questions.
Mm-hmm.
We have tackled a little bit about the pandemic and how that shifted parenting in such a great way.
Yeah.
And hopefully it does have some really good long-term lasting effects. But we do know that it has affected all of us in one way or another. But hopefully we'll take away with the positives, you know, on that for long term, where, you know, being family oriented and implementing that family time and keeping those family morals and values in
yes.
our society today, even though the pandemic is hopefully on the way out. Knock on wood, right?
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
And we know the strength of any society is based on the strength of the families.
Right.
You know, healthy
yeah.
the families, healthy communities are.
Yeah, community. Yeah, it's so important. Absolutely. Well, let's talk about now how the pandemic has affected our love and relationships. Since we've talked about family and kids more so, let's talk about how it's affected love and relationships now.
Yeah, where parenting's been positive, there's I would say there's a mixed review in literature around the effects there. Brad Wilcox, big researcher, is you know has cited some data to suggest that marriages and divorce was declining. Now we're a few months away. There's some that suggest that there's been a 5% increase in divorce requests. So there's a mix here. Some of the things we do know, you know, and kind of a fact is 50% of people reported a decline in their sex life during this time. So, you know, you're home a lot more. I was one of the ones that early said and still do believe on a level that if a couple was in conflict before the pandemic, and now they're forced to be around each other 24/7 because they're not going to work, it's not going to make things better. It's going to make things worse. Initially, it did. You saw an increase of pornography use. I think I read one article. Pornhub reported like a 38% increase in pornography
wow.
use. We saw an increase in child abuse. Saw an increase in alcohol abuse. So you saw an increase in a lot of domestic violence increased in the early days. You see it. you didn't see a lot of reporting around those things. What you did see, well, was marriages getting better? Some reports said yes, some reports said no. I think what happened were people began to just settle into, okay, I just have to deal with you. I really can't get divorced because the courts are closed. I mean, let's be honest. Not a lot of divorces going on because courts are closed, right? So that system was shut down for quite a bit, right? So the interesting is going to see then is, will there be an uptick in divorce? This one article that you and I are referring to here, divorce applications rose from 40 to 45% in the U.S. So you did see an increase in divorce applications over the last year. Now, will they file?
Follow through.
Yeah, will they follow through?
Follow through or just threats of...
Exactly.
Yeah, hopefully not.
Online dating grew 13%, and yet there was the decline in the sex life. 50% of people reported that they stopped having sex. I think it's when you're, okay, I don't like you, you don't like me, we're kind of tolerating each other, now we're together. Well, we can learn to live together, but I really want to be close to you.
That makes for long days.
It does.
And long nights.
Yeah. And then we're going to, you know, we'll see here in a little bit that nationally, apart from COVID, we're actually seeing more and more people putting sex aside. Mm. You know, we'll talk about that in a little bit, I know.
Yeah. We're going to get to that part.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk about, I mean, they were saying a lot of people actually stopped dating completely because of COVID.
And yeah.
That
fear.
Was, yeah, the fear. I mean, I know so many that either were demanding someone have a COVID test before a date.
Yep.
Or they just said, I'm not dating until all of this is over, because maybe they were immune compromised, or maybe they, you know, were around family, or just had fear, just plain simple fear.
And so, and a lot of people started connecting through platforms like Skype, Zoom. It's safe.
Video dates.
Yep. You can meet that way and talk and share. I don't have the threat. Of course, a lot of restaurants and stuff were closed during those early days, right?
Yeah, right.
So, and then some were at 50% or 25% open. Mm-hmm. So you saw a lot more online type of dating taking place rather than face-to-face, because the fear of COVID has created a lot of choices to be made differently, right? Mm-hmm. And then you saw that in the dating. I mean, my daughter was, you know, she's done a lot of online dating in her life, and she's like, well, I'm not going out with anyone. I'm just talking to people. Okay.
I think that's the lingo now, though,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Even if they are dating, they're saying, I'm just talking.
Exactly right. That's a whole other part of research, right?
That's a whole show in itself.
Very
we'll
much
to have
so.
Her on.
Yeah.
Or we'll have Colby. Colby will tell us what's going on in the world out there. In
yeah,
the
all the different ways, all the different ways that we describe relationships today that back in our day, you were going out or you weren't going out.
Yeah, you were dating or you weren't.
Now you got, well, we're just friends with benefit. We're BFFs. We're talking. Well, what does all that mean?
And nothing.
They all, yeah.
It means nothing.
Yeah.
And nothing right now. So, all right. Well, let's talk about, there was also, I think everybody was, you know, thinking that this was just really, really stressful. And it just wasn't good for a relationship. Bringing that stress in and trying to date or trying to have a relationship or trying to create love. It was just too much stress on each other.
Yeah. It's interesting. Part of the data, I'm just kind of looking at it here. One data point, and this is kind of it's kind of weird, but it is. One source said 27% of couples experience greater relationship satisfaction. But at the same time, another study said, there's been a 27% decrease in relationship satisfaction.
Maybe it depends on the writer if they were
Yeah. So there's a lot of there is some confusion in the data out there.
Uh-huh.
What we do know is that COVID's had a wonderful impact on parenting. We're not really sure if it had a great impact on the adult relationships, marriage, dating, those kinds of things, particularly marriage. Because we are seeing, and I think I tend to agree with the data that suggests there's been an increase in divorce requests. There's an online legal platform, I think it was LegalZoom, I read something a while back, where they've seen an increase of downloads of divorce applications. All right. So they've seen an increase in it. They've just not been filed because the courthouses are closed, right? Mm-hmm. And those kind of things. So I'll be interesting to see what happens in the 6 to 8 months. Of things opening up around the country, and then what happens with these applications that are being saw it, you know, and downloaded and filled out.
And do you feel like you're busier as a marriage counselor and, you know, being, I mean, you would say?
Oh, very much so.
Okay. Because I see just in my personal arena, shall we say, mm-hmm. a lot of people are divorcing.
Yes.
A lot. Like,
yes.
Way too many in my in my realm, I think, are divorcing, 40s and 50s age group. And some are trying to stay in there for kids until they're grown. Mm-hmm. And others are saying, I'm out. I've had it and I'm done.
Yeah. I have had an increase in my 3-day marriage intensives in the last year and a half. I mean, I am booking those out a month to month and a half out. People in crisis, years of counseling, they're separating, they're divorcing. Most of them are separated under the same roof because, you know, unless they just go find another place to live. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what do we do? And I said, well, my work's cheaper than a divorce, so.
Absolutely. Try it.
You know, yeah. People are like, well, I want to pay that much. All right. Go, divorce can cost you five times as much.
Yeah.
You'd rather pay for divorce? This is cheap.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's much more meaningful.
Right.
You see? So if there's a part of you that still wants it, hey. And so people are coming from around the country to do my marriage intensives. And what you find is COVID just kind of snapped, was already breaking. And then I just show them how to stabilize it, how to communicate, how to reconnect, how to dump all that negative energy that's stored in their emotional brain. Mm-hmm. So they can start speaking the truth in love to each other. So they can be slow to anger and quick to hear with each other. They can start doing those Bible verses, which actually creates intimacy. You see?
And I think, to be fair, I mean, any relationship could suffer a demise mm-hmm. over this. I mean, if you're going to focus on the negative, I mean, any relationship, anyone could just focus on the negative. This is awful. We're together all the time. You do this. You don't pick up that. You could focus on the negative all day and create a wedge that would create a demise ultimately. Or you can choose to focus on the positive and seek counseling for those things that are really super important, major, mm-hmm. major breaking points, because I think everyone has been affected by this pandemic. Every relationship.
Yes.
I mean, everyone, that your child's relationship with you, your family's relationship with you, your spouse's relationship with you. I mean, your animal's relationship. I mean, my dog gets to see me all day now. He's so happy. You know, I mean,
yeah.
It's been a great thing for my dog, right? You know, so, I mean, I think it's affected every single person in some way.
Yeah, and when you said that, I thought about my life, and I thought, wait a minute, affected doesn't mean negative.
Right.
Because it has been, because Luella and I got closer, because mm-hmm. I was home so much more.
Yeah.
You know? I was home a lot more. Mm-hmm. And so we had more times to connect, more time to spend with each other. And one of the things I've learned from this is I can be in the same room with her. We don't have to talk. But just, you know, she may be laying on the couch reading something or watching, you know, TV. And I'll be sitting on the couch next to her. And I'm telling you, just being in the room with her is peaceful.
Yeah.
You know,
it gives
just
you a sense of peace.
It does. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. Just her presence. You don't have to say anything. Just her presence is powerful. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's one of the benefits that I got from this is that, wow, you know, I realized in all my traveling, I missed that part. I missed that part, which is why I always want her to come travel with me.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, we're together. It may be in a hotel, but We're together.
Yeah,
you know, it's her and I.
So. Oh, well, so it's been good for some, bad for some, but
yeah.
You are there for the ones that it's bad for. Relate Well will help you get through any troubles that you have.
Give you the skills and tools to get unstuck and move it forward.
So true. I know. All right. Well, we've got to take a quick break right now, but we're going to talk about some sex, baby, when we come back. So you want to stay tuned for this, the effects of the pandemic on sex, coming up after the break.
A healthy, nurtured relationship is key in making your life whole. Yet, for most, that perfect relationship is elusive. In Relationships for Life, marriage and family counselor and acclaimed speaker, Dr. Rick Marks, offers proven principles and skills for caring and mature relationships. Dr. Rick shares personal experiences from growing up in a broken home and how vulnerability led to healing in his own life. The book is a unique perspective packed with faith-based and clinical insights for making a relationship work. Relationships for Life is for anyone who wants to create and maintain healthy relations in every aspect of life. Available as a digital download in hardback and paperback on Amazon and in the web store at drrickmarks.com.
Welcome back to Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks. I'm Angelia Savage, your co-host. And as we left off a while ago, I said we were going to talk about sex. And I think that's what we're going to talk about right now, because we've been, I think, addressing everything to do with the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And it would only be fair to talk about the effects that, you know, the pandemic has had on sexual relations.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we need to talk about the decline that everybody is saying in all of the media right now, that there has been a decline in America.
Yes. And interesting, this decline is not just about the pandemic. There is the research that we were looking at pointed out that 50% of people reported a decline in their sex life during the pandemic. However, we also know from Nick Wolfinger's his research and other data that you're actually finding what's called a great sex recession.
A sex recession.
A great sex recession.
I don't think I've heard that before. A sex recession.
In America, that the sex recession is turning into a sex depression. Kind of listen to this data here. One out of four single American women hasn't had a sex partner for 2 or more years, while over 1 in 10 hasn't had a partner for 5 or more years. That's different than it was 20 years ago. Less than 1% of heterosexual married or cohabiting respondents report no sex in the past year. That couples are actually foregoing sex. Michelle Winner Davis wrote a book quite a while ago where she was in tune to this pattern developing. Mm-hmm. Actually, her talk is a sex talk. Mm-hmm. A TED talk. The title of her talk was "The Sex Star of Marriage." That's her book.
Okay.
That more and more couples who are married are foregoing sex in marriage. She talks about what that pattern is about, what you need to do to fix that pattern, those kinds of things. So you're seeing this sex resection, that it's being more sublimated or submerged or just kind of done away with. All right?
I have to agree with that. I mean, just talking with all of my friends there, that is definitely something that's on the table that women talk about. And I want to say that it's really more often the men that are not. The women are the ones that are wanting to and kind of feeling like they're having to ask or beg or, you know, put a post-it note on the mirror. Hey, don't forget about me. And I feel as though I have to agree with the research.
It's interesting. There's a website called Fight the New Drug, which is one of the leading websites on the effects of pornography on the brain and what it's doing to culture at large. All right.
What's it doing?
And well, we know through brain research now that pornography affects the same reward area of the brain that cocaine does. So it has the same biological, physiological effect in terms of
it lights the brain up like cocaine?
Yes, it does. By watching pornography. Yes, it does.
Interesting.
And so what you're actually seeing is younger girls more and more. In this article, they wrote to Fight the New Drug with some Australian data from the Australian government, that what they're seeing in Australia, and I think you're seeing it some of it here as well, but it was just written over there, is that girls are feeling this pressure by boys for sex, but what they really want is just connection. So what they're finding out is a boy will say, well, I'll kiss you if you give me sex first.
Oh, my goodness.
And so what you're actually seeing, that pornography is having a negative effect on the boys, right, these younger boys today, which is turning some of the women like, I don't want that. So we are actually seeing the effect of pornography actually is not positive on a person's life.
So
it's actually negative.
What is it doing that's creating the male, I'll say, you were saying the boys, the male society to just, are they disconnecting and they don't have a
sex
feeling?
Sex is no longer, when you look at pornography, sex is devoid of intimacy. All right. It's devoid of intimacy, it's devoid of connections, devoid of friendship. It's an image, and your brain is trying to recreate that experience, right? And what you see in video, what you see on a screen, you want to replicate. You want to replicate that in reality, hoping you can get that same feeling in reality.
Oh, okay.
So girls are being pressured by young boys. Matter of fact, the Australian data actually pointed out that there's been an increase in the increase in rape in Australia are by adolescent boys who are looking at pornography.
Because of porn.
Because of porn. The adolescent boys are acting out what they're seeing because women are not becoming objectified. You see, women are objects. They're not people. They're not, hate to say it, it's like your brain doesn't see them as a human. Your brain sees them as an object to be used. All right. But that's what pornography does. Everybody understood that pornography is mainly run by the mob. I mean, it's a huge industry and there's a lot of crime around it.
I didn't know this. I had no idea.
A lot of crime around that industry. Human trafficking, all of that feeds the industry. I get it's not 100% that way, but my sources tell me it is heavy that way.
And is this, let's rewind, is this affecting young boys and young men more so than older?
Yes, because when you look at some of the data around it, the porn industry is actually trying to reach high school and middle school boys now.
Oh.
They're targeting them.
How are they just finding ways
to do it? Of course, you see an increase in pornography. You'll see an 18-year-old girl dressed like a 14-year-old, all right, which feeds the adult male, right? He's not looking, though it may be legally 18, the girl, right? She's appearing as a kid. Well, all of that feeds the mind, you see? And so I think what you're seeing, this decrease in sex, I think pornography is driving some of it because people are less wanting that kind of relationship. They're looking for deeper relationship. I think COVID is forcing us to realize that, you know, life isn't about sex. Life is about connection. It's about intimacy. Though pornography is driving younger boys to want the sex, the women are like, wait a minute. I'm looking for relation. I'm looking for friendship. I'm looking for a deeper sense of connection, you see. And I think what you're seeing today playing itself out is society is having to battle that we've become so sex-saturated, we're also so broken and disconnected. And I think there's a shift back to, wait a minute, I want a healthy relationship. Interesting, these girls in the study that fight the new drug, they want to kiss. But they have to feel like they have to give some form of sex, not necessarily intercourse, but they have to give some form of sex in order to get a kiss.
And that's so disturbing.
The kissing is about connection.
And these are young girls.
Yes.
These are young boys. These are, you know, teenage to early 20s.
Yes.
That we're talking about here. So this was interesting, though. There's a girl, she's 15,
mm-hmm.
and her name is Lucy. And it's in the Fight the New Drug article. Mm-hmm. And she surveyed 600 girls, 600 of her friends and, you know, people that she knows. And she started this thing, sexual bullying every day is what it's called. And she's tired of it. So she's fighting back. And she's saying that the boys and the 600 young girls are saying the same thing, that the boys are asking for things like you were just saying in advance of just a kiss.
Yeah. Send me a naked picture of yourself. They're wanting the girls to take pictures of themselves and send to them by a text message.
She's 15.
Mm-hmm.
She's 15 years old. And she's getting boys that are asking for naked pictures of her.
Pornography fuels all this.
And this is all from the source of pornography, what they've seen, because they wouldn't know any other way unless mm-hmm. they've seen it.
The two intensive I just got done doing this past week, sex addiction is rampant in both those relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Heavy porn, masturbation, and one of them moved into adultery. You know, multiple affairs. Because sexual addiction, this porn use is going to lead to an addictive behavior. And next thing you know, you're looking at porn like an alcoholic uses alcohol or a drug addict or a religious addict uses religion or a food addict, you see. It's a way to make yourself feel loved and valuable, but it's destroying your own soul, but you destroy others along the way, you see. And people are developing these compulsive sexual behaviors because of it. But let's be honest, an addiction is not about love. It's all about what? Me. It's about me getting my needs met at the expense of others. Mm-hmm. It's a false sense of intimacy. And women are the brunt of it, particularly girls today, because a lot of boys are developing these compulsive behaviors, you know, by the time they're 16, 17, 18, because they've been looking at pornography so much. And let's be honest, it's pretty accessible out there.
Yeah, I found it interesting what she said. She said what she was thinking mm-hmm. when this was going on. And she said her thoughts were, he was pleasured and he was happy, but yet she thought her body looked okay. That was her response at age 15 to her response to, you know, what had happened between her mm-hmm. and a young boy. And that was the thing that she thought of.
Yeah, she...
Her self-image.
She gives, he takes, she gets nothing.
She got nothing.
All she could come out of that was I look okay.
I look okay and empty.
Because the relationship is one-sided. And this is part of the problem with the porn use today. It destroys relationship. You're seeing it all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, 70%, some research says 70% of men in the church are actively using pornography. It's a factor. It's a factor in divorce, you see. And so you're seeing this great sex recession because the culture, in a sense, is tired of all of this. And so because there's not a lot of health, a lot of people are foregoing sex these days, particularly women, you know, because they're looking for love. They're looking for true intimacy. And so when you see all of this stuff happening, you would think that pornography would increase sex, but you actually found out it's long-term. It's driving people away from it mm-hmm. because the damaging effects of it long term. Now I'm looking for what? I don't want sex. I want a relationship. Mm-hmm. I want a relationship. I want a friendship. This thing can't be defined strictly by touch, by, you know, by some form of touch. I want to know you. And true intimacy, by the way, is actually built by knowing someone. And that requires communication. That requires confiding and talking in someone to someone. And so this is really explained really well in Dr. John Van Epp's book, How to Avoid Marrying a Jerk, right? Where he talks about the relationship attachment model. We did a show on that, you know, weeks ago. And so you build a relationship by getting to know someone. And that takes time to get to know a person. The culture starts with sex, not with the knowing.
So what's the solution then? What's the solution for, say, a young girl is listening right now. She's 15, 16, 17. Maybe she's 22. Maybe she's 42. What's the solution to this sex-filled society of men disconnected because porn has created that?
I think the first thing that women have to say to themselves is, do I respect myself enough to not be used? Do I respect myself enough to not be, you know, I do a lot of counseling, and so many Christian women that come for counseling said, I am so tired of the men who just want to go out and eventually want to get in bed with me. These are Christian men from churches, all right? And they're like, you know, matter of fact, I had one here to reach, and goes, this guy I'm dating, he doesn't want to have sex. And she's like, blown away by that.
I would be too.
Yeah, she's blown away by that. And she said,
the women in the studio are laughing. Yeah, what?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we're what?
And she was saying to me, it was like a week and a half ago,
who
she says, it's so refreshing to know that he just wants to know me. Mm-hmm. Hear the difference?
Yeah.
He wants to know me.
Right.
And he said, look, you know, I'm not here for sex. I'm here for a relationship. And she did not have that because...
She better scarf him up quick.
Yeah.
I mean...
Exactly. That's what she's thinking, you know? Yeah. This is different. Uh-huh. And so I think women have to ask themselves first and foremost, if you respect yourself enough and that's not what you want to do, then say no. And if you're thinking, well, if I say no, then I walk out of my life, you don't need him in your life in the first place.
But what if you are, I'm going to say, Lucy. She's 15. She's 16, 17. She doesn't have all of that self-respect yet. She's still learning.
It sounds like she has enough self-respect to start a website on being sexually bullied, right?
I agree. Yes.
I mean, my goodness, she's wise
well
enough
stated.
To know. I think these young girls know. I think what happens, though, is the need to be loved and the need to be valued, the need to know you matter overrides your common sense mm-hmm. that you'll let yourself be used as an object in order to feel loved.
And I say go with your gut feeling.
If yes.
your gut is telling you this just isn't right, go with your
if
gut.
You,
your gut is never going to lead you astray no matter how old you are.
Exactly. Just, if you value yourself, mm-hmm. it's okay to say no.
Yeah.
Well, what happens if he walks out of my life? He wasn't meant to be your friend in the first place.
So be it.
Find someone who's going to love you for you and treat you with dignity and goodwill and respect.
Absolutely. All right. Well, on that note, we're going to have to end the program, unfortunately. And, you know, we'll tackle this subject again because this is really interesting. And I think everybody wants to know a little bit more. So we will definitely tackle it again. But if you would like to learn to lead a life through the four protectors in all of your relationships and learn how to develop the tools that create us in your marriage, us in your family, or us in the workplace, then register for the online Relate Well Core program. You can register for Relate Well as a single or a couple, and all you have to do is register online today with relatewell.us. Again, that's relatewell.us. And if you're looking for private relationship counseling or life coaching from Dr. Rick himself, then call 904-724-8683. That's 904-724-8683. Well, this has been another informative show from Relate Well with Dr. Rick himself, and we hope that we help you live your best life. And remember, until next week, relate well to live well.
We want to invite you to visit relatewell.us. Whether you're single or a couple, come learn what a healthy relationship looks like and then put it into practice. For relationship counseling, contact Dr. Rick at relatewell.us.
All of who you are reaches the darkest parts, lifting the weight and erasing the scars and how to hold on.